Got to work it out.
That's how all those stories go. It's like the guy, the story always goes like this. And the guy was in a car accident. What did he do? Well, then he went to the gym. And what happened? It was all fine. That's how the story always goes, right?
I think so.
It wasn't. And then he heard a tiny snap. And then he shit out his heart. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Edrick.
It's episode 72, Eyes of Blue, Coochie Coochie, Coochie Coo.
Something borrowed, something blue.
That's right.
Coo 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 Choo. I am the walrus.
Mr. Magoo.
The walrus is Paul.
Oh, was he?
No.
Haven't we established who the walrus was?
The walrus.
Who was the who was the penguin?
The walrus Burgess was the Meredith. Carpenter.
Burgess Meredith was the penguin.
The walrus was the carpenter.
And they went to sea. And a beautiful pea green boat. Hi, everybody. If you're listening to this episode for the very first time, it'll get better from here. We apologize.
That was the greatest thing we've ever done.
Do you know when you turn on the taps after you haven't been in your house for a while and a bunch of gunk comes out? That's Dave and me for the first, about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is all the brown water comes out and a bunch of spiders. And then it'll be clear water, I promise. Promise you very, very soon.
What were all the spiders doing in your tap?
Well, spiders live in a tap.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's where they live.
So we don't consume them while we're sleeping. We talked about this last week. This strange statistic that I've just put in air quotes.
Absolutely.
That we eat 100 spiders a year or whatever it is.
Yeah, we did cover that last week.
Yeah.
And we well covered it. So yeah. It is done.
We're done on that.
Yeah.
You don't want
to... Look, I'm trying to bring in new listeners. I'm not trying to frighten off old listeners. We're not going to talk about needles. We're not going to talk about spiders going in your mouth. We're not going to disturb the nice people. A lot of them are walking down the street on the way to work.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing things with their lives. They got their iPods in their ears.
If they're doing things with their lives, why are they listening to this show?
Because they have to get to those
things. Oh, yes!
No, that's not a zing. It's a zing. I reflect your zing.
I burned our own listeners.
They have to commute. These are working people. These are people with places to go and people to see. And they got to walk there. They got to be in their cars. And so they're listening. And they don't want to hear mouthful of spiders because then they'll swerve off the road and crash. Speaking of which, you were in a car accident last week.
That's right. I was driving on the road with a mouthful of spiders. Totally distracted.
But that's just a religious thing with
totally distracted.
You've heard of snake handlers. David is a spider gargler.
Still celebrating Lent. The time after Lent.
That's right. So, where you put a bunch of ants in your mouth. And then after Lent, you have to put spiders in to get rid of all the ants.
That's right. That's right. And then you transfer the ants to your pants for Lent.
That's right.
It's a Dr. Seuss thing.
You have a terrible religion. It's basically the Gutenberg, you know, the Gutenberg press? This was the Gutenberg press, which was the knockoff next door and got a lot of stuff wrong.
It was a lot of typos. Mm-hmm. I was in a car accident.
Let's somber this up a second.
Yeah, we started off kind of goofy and dumb, and now we got to get all serious. I was driving. It's a strange accident because it happened at 10:30 at night. And as you know, I live in a small town.
How small is it?
It's so small. I don't know how small it is. It's so small that, I don't know.
The mice are hunchback?
It's so small that when you put your key in the door, it breaks a window. That's how small it is.
Sounds good.
That's how small that town is.
That works for a car joke.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, the town is small. Although my car is small, as I do. I used to drive a Yaris.
Let me tell you how small the town was.
Yeah.
The guy that crashed into your car was you.
That's how small the town is. That's right. It's a town and a Mobius strip.
Yeah.
Combined.
I T-boned myself coming out of my own driveway. That's how small the town was.
I got hit by a hunchback mouse. That's how small the town is.
Now we're sounding like a Richard Scarry story.
I was, my daughter's friend needed a ride home. So we took her friend home, dropped her off at her house, and then unfortunately didn't linger there, or didn't speed there. I did something wrong. Anyway, so we left.
Oh, wait, don't say you did something wrong, because you're still filing for ICBC. So don't say you did anything wrong.
I'm just saying cosmically wrong. Rather than, I'm not saying liability wrong.
I'm just
talking cosmically wrong.
Okay, ICBC doesn't care if you're cosmically or karmatically.
And for our listeners, so they know that in British Columbia, we have a monopoly insurance company called the Insurance Corporation of British Columbia, which is owned by us.
Yeah.
And then torments us at the same time.
And you know it's a monopoly because it's represented by a little thimble.
That's right. Isn't it the car? Wouldn't the car make more sense?
Make more sense, but nothing at ICBC makes sense.
It's a strange thing because it's true. It is owned by us. You know, it's a government-owned corporation. Our tax dollars support and pay for the people who work there, and yet we use it to torment ourselves.
It's a self-loathing.
There's a passive-aggressive quality
to it. Okay, but let's go back to the night.
It's 10:30 at night.
The witching hour.
It's 10:30 at night.
You've dropped off a nice young lady.
Pre-witching hour, an hour and a half before the witching hour.
She's invited you in for cocoa and movies. You went, no.
That's right.
Get back in your car.
I said, no, we have to go. This is important that we have to get home right away. So
and
no.
Her grandmother was an old gypsy woman gave you a curse as you left because you wouldn't have her cocoa.
That's right.
Okay.
That's why it was the witching hour. Mm-hmm. So then we were driving down the street and we went into an intersection. It was a green light for us. And then out of nowhere, I was hit by a car who ran the red light into the side of our car.
What side of the car was it?
It hit on I was with Phyllis, and yeah. It hit on Phyllis's side of the car.
Oh, Jesus. So, now was it behind or in front?
Luckily, it was behind. So the driver smashed right into the rear tire of the car, yeah. Which is kind of lucky because it took most of the impact. So we spun around, and Phyllis was very frightened. Like, she actually kind of shrieked with fear.
Yeah, it's and, terrifying.
Which made it more scary because I have been in accidents before. Many times. This is my fourth time.
Don't say that to ICBC.
This is my fourth time spinning around in the road. So,
okay. But it's always been someone else hitting you.
No, the one time was me by myself spinning around. I hydroplaned while I was going on the freeway a little too fast, apparently.
Right.
And I hit some water, and I ended up going off the road, 100 kilometers an hour, and in a convertible. So that was the best part of it, because I rolled a convertible and the top came off. So
wow.
It was kind of exciting. And what's interesting about rolling a convertible is the windshield, because it's a convertible, they have to make it really strong. It's stronger than like what you would have in a normal car with a roof. So I rolled and I lost my glasses because of I was rolling. Mm-hmm. And then I went back the next day after the car had been towed away to find them, and I found them on the ground shaped like a V. They'd just been crushed by the car and turned into a V. But fortunately, the optometrist was able to straighten them out and make them look normal again.
So right.
I was able to save something from the door of stupid accident.
You didn't have to do the Band-Aid in the middle
nerd
style.
No, I didn't, thank goodness.
By the way, you sound very cool in that accident. In a convertible, your glasses flying off. All of a sudden, it's, well, Mr. Dedrick, you're beautiful. And then it's rolling the car, and now you look very cool.
My hair blowing in the breeze.
Yeah, if this was a movie, you'd meet a lady right after that, and it's just like, wow, look at that guy. But okay, back to the sad story. So this is that's tragedy plus time equals interesting. Mm-hmm. This is not enough time has passed.
This is not enough. This is still kind of raw for me. Yeah.
Okay.
So they crashed into Phyllis's side of the car, and we spun around, and then we came to a stop. And of course, then you get out and you're confused, right? You're totally confused. Mm-hmm. And of course, I looked up at the light because I was like, I thought it was green. Like, I was certain it was green. What? And I looked up, of course, my light was red. Of course, because time had passed.
Right.
But you're looking, and then there's some women came out of their car. And I said, the light was green for me, right? They said, oh yeah, he was at fault. So they stayed. There's three of them.
Good, good,
there's
good.
Two different cars, and the three people stayed. And then one of the ladies lent me her phone because I had left my phone at home just because I was just running down the, you know, I was just driving,
right,
doing a little like 10-minute drive. It should have been at the most. And so I was phoning 911, and then the police came. Like, as I was talking to the lady, like they were just in the area, and I don't know if they heard the crash or whatever. They came right away.
It's a small town.
It is a small town.
Yeah.
That's right.
Crash happens. Police show up.
Yeah. Police show up. Well, actually, three police came.
Yeah, small town.
Because, yeah, I guess they're bored, so.
I don't think they're bored. There's been a car accident.
No.
That's not them being bored.
They're just kind of checking. They're checking up on what was happening.
Yeah, that's what they should do. They're the police. Car accident. Good job for them. Okay, go ahead.
And then, so.
It's
but
not
I was
weird.
I was really shaken up. Like, I am, like, my hands were shaking. I think because Phyllis was with me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your
and
daughter's
so,
screaming and scared. That's
yeah.
going to throw you off more than anything.
It added a real level of worry or fear or whatever to that situation, you know, because other times when I've been in accidents, like, one time I was driving, this was when I was driving my Firebird.
You sound awesome in the past. What happened? you're driving convertibles. You're driving in Firebirds.
This is my 69 Firebird.
Did you used to be Jim Rockford?
Yes, right. This is a 69, not the later model. I'm not a fan of the later model.
You still have an answering machine.
I still have an answering machine. Hello, you've reached David Dedrick.
David, it's your bookie. You owe me $3,000.
So yeah, I was driving up the hill and I made this stupid error, which, because it was wintertime, it was really icy. And as I got to the top of the hill, I accelerated. Wrong thing. Anyone out there who's like a new driver, do not do that.
Okay. If you're driving, don't do it either.
Don't do it either. But if you're driving up a hill, steady. Slow and steady wins the race.
That's right.
Your decision to gun your enormous engine at the top of the hill is not a good idea.
All learned that from the Kate Bush song, Running Up That Hill, where they give us advice how to climb a hill.
That's right.
I believe that's what the song was about.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Gabriel's Turn Into the Skid. That was also on the same...
Is that Turn Into the Skid?
It was a compilation album.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I
can joke about the past.
That's fine.
I'm not going to joke as much about last week.
So I started spinning in the road.
Right.
Luckily, this was like a country road. There wasn't a lot of traffic on it. Mm-hmm. But what was weird is my car engine shut off because I was spinning.
Ah.
And so it was totally silent, except for my tape player was playing Pet Sounds. Mm-hmm. And it was nighttime, so my lights were picking up the trees. And you have that moment when you're in this sort of situation where time slows down to where every millisecond is very interesting to you.
Yeah. Do you remember the actual song that was playing?
I think it was Caroline No, actually. So,
okay.
If it only had said David No. don't gun your engine now. So it was just this, music hype, falsetto singing happening. Well, I'm spinning silently on this road, looking at all these bare trees in the darkness picked up by my headlights, and then I ended up backwards in the ditch, but just on the edge of it. So then this man and his son came along, and they stopped, and they helped me, and we were able to push it out, and I was able to take off and leave them with a coating of mud from my back wheels.
Mud and good karma.
That's right, mud and good karma. Thank you! Took off. You're calm in that moment, because there's nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can do to stop what's happening to you. Mm-hmm. When you're on black ice and you're spinning around, you can't steer into the skid. You're just, whatever is going to happen is going to happen in this moment. And that, luckily for me, it ended up with just me kind of hanging over the edge, not into a tree, nose first into the ditch, just kind of on the precipice and able to escape that. But this time it was a lot different. Because Eve was there, Phyllis was there, so it made it seem more.
That witching Eve.
It just made it seem more, just way more angsty and fearful,
Course.
So, my hands were shaking, and the policewoman who stopped, Angie Dickinson, she said to me, "Your hands are really shaking." And I said, "I know. I've been in accidents before, but never been shaken up like this." So the guy who did it, it's an accident. There's nothing, I'm not mad at him. Mm.
He wasn't drinking or driving.
He made a dumb error, which was he decided to change his station on his radio or do something with his music in the car, driving down the road, and missed a red light.
I got to tell you, the amount of, I've this week just coincidentally heard so many people's car accident stories, not because I brought you up, but because people just happen to be having a lot of car accidents lately. And almost always there's some music involved.
Is that right?
Someone changing some shit or whatever, or some tragedy occurs because someone was reaching for something. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Fuck music.
When you're driving.
Yeah.
Haven't they seen Albert Brooks defending your life?
I don't remember that particular scene. By the way,
there is an
ambulance going by. Ambulance. So please, everybody, take a drink. Oh, it stopped. Spit out your drink. Okay, there it goes again.
I'm going to lick it off the floor that I spat out.
I thought for a second that the ambulance was here for you. That ambulances are so slow in Canada because of our fucking healthcare system.
Am I right?
They come a week later. And they'll find you in another city.
That's right.
You're the guy who was in the accident? Yeah, we heard you talking about it. Get in the ambulance. No, I'm actually fine now.
Hashtag Obamacare. Am I right? High fives. Right.
Why did we elect him to be president of Canada?
I don't know. It was a weird thing that we
really
did.
It really does. I guess Trudeau will kick him out eventually.
Wrong. He stopped. He stopped at the scene. He came up. He apologized. He admitted culpability.
Good for him.
You know, like he... you know, he didn't take off and try and get away with it, you know. No. So, you know, what's sad is that, you know, I had a car, my Yaris. It was an orange copper mica was the color.
Yeah.
Yaris that I've had for 7 years now. And I love that car.
Would you say it's my favorite Yaris?
It's my favorite Yaris. Up Yaris. Only problem I ever had with that car, well, I had to replace the brakes once on it, like the brake pads.
Because they were racist.
Is that why you had to replace things?
A horrible is sound that why you have out, to? It was a racial slur.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I don't want to say what it was, but it definitely was a racial slur that every time you stopped. And so you had to replace your racist brake pads.
But I mean, that's normal, right? That's part of wear and tear of anything, right?
You're not blaming the car.
And then I had to replace the washer nozzles because they plugged up.
Now, we get close.
That was it for 7 years.
People get close to their cars. You spend so much time in it. You get used to it. It feels right. It feels like an extension of yourself. So that's the thing, like when you're in a car accident, it feels different than if something else of yours got broke. Like if something, you know, your lawnmower gets broken, you know, a guy smashes it, who gives a shit? But like your car, it's like, wait, that's part of you. It feels almost like you're being struck. Yeah. It feels
there's different. There's definitely a personal. I mean, when they phoned me on Monday and told me that it was a write-off, that it was a complete loss and I wouldn't be getting it back. And I was really sad. Like I was really blue. I was quite blue.
Now, this is a weird question. Do you get to say goodbye to the car or is it just...
No, you don't. So if I missed my opportunity to at least give it a little pat before it left because I love that car. Like it served us well. I mean, it's had 190,000 kilometers on it. That's a lot of kilometers for...
So you're looking for a new Yaris now?
I would like to get another Yaris. Yeah. And if not a Yaris, I'll get another Toyota, I think, because it's just served... It's
well, let me say, like if any listeners out there have a Yaris that you want to give to Dave, we will give you a t-shirt.
Just give it to me?
Yeah. If you give Dave a Yaris, one, we'll mention you on the air.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, one, you get a shout out. Mm-hmm. Shout out for you. Mm-hmm. That's just, and that's enough. You know, there's nothing people like more than getting mentioned on a podcast.
Oh, totally.
Yaris, shout out. Two, we will give you a t-shirt.
A t-shirt?
That will maybe fit you. We can't guarantee it'll fit you. I don't know your size.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Yaris, shout out, t-shirt, and will you throw in a hug?
Yeah, I would give him a hug.
Okay. Is that like a double pat on the back hug?
I would give him a hug and a little bit of a bum group.
Okay, hug with benefits.
Yep.
Okay, so you're getting from Dave. Dave's a handsome man. You've seen him. Look at the pictures on Facebook. Some of them, he doesn't have his shirt on. So that is, maybe just one of them doesn't have that. So you got Dave's giving you a
really
hug.
I was really poor then.
You're so poor. You were driving in the convertible because you couldn't afford the top of the car.
That's right.
So you get Dave. He's going to hug you while he's shirtless. A little bit of a grope.
Yeah.
You're getting a t-shirt and you're getting a shout out.
Yes.
Maybe the shout out is just going, this shirtless guy is groping me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can shout for help.
Yes.
And all you need for that, we will accept any Yaris. Any year?
Well.
Wow. Picky fussy boots. Holy cow. Really? You're going to be fussy about this.
Well, not fussy, but I just has to be like, I would say, from 2006 onwards.
2006 onwards. Yeah. If someone gives you, I got a 2003 Yaris.
Which to be fair is.
Go
like,
climb a rope.
There was no Yaris in 2003.
Oh, when did they start?
2006.
Oh, well, then it has to. Why are you even bringing it damn well up?
Well, I just,
that was a silly thing to bring
I just don't want, like...
Yeah,
I only want... Well, because some people might say...
I don't like watching Star Wars movies after 1977.
Here's why I brought it up.
Before 1977.
Here's why I brought it up.
Uh-huh.
Because before the Yaris was the Echo. The Echo became the Yaris.
We didn't bring it up.
I'm just bringing it up because someone might say, you know what, I have an Echo for you.
And it's you would like tell a Yaris. Them, once again,
I'd say no.
Long walk, short plank.
I'd say, you know, go fly a kite.
Yeah. Why don't you just gun it up a hill, is what you'd say. Dedrick style.
Gun up a hill in the wintertime.
That's right. Okay. So.
Speaking of shout outs to listeners.
Before you do that, let me just wrap this piece up.
Is it a piece?
It is a piece.
Okay.
It's a piece of the show. And let me just wrap it up by saying, I'm really glad you're well.
Yeah.
People were worried. We're all worried. And we're glad that you're well. And
I'm fine.
Hopefully, ICBC gives you lots of money.
They're not going to. I have their offer, which I'm not happy with right now. But if I can make it work, I can make it work. I'm looking, before I accept their offer, I'm looking at other cars first.
Okay.
Because I don't want to.
If anyone out there, let me throw this out there. If anyone out there is a lawyer who likes working for free, pro bono, they say, as in you're a fan of U2, or Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono.
Either way, David could use some pro bono lawyer work. Pro bono. Only pro.
Only pro bono.
Yeah.
No anti bono.
That's right.
We don't want that.
So there you go. If you're, say, in the law profession and you want to help David out, also contact us. Once again, getting a t-shirt.
T-shirt?
You're going to get a shout-out.
You're going to get a shout-out.
And you're going to get the shirtless hug.
it's not a shirtless hug.
Oh, I'm
promised a shirtless hug?
This deal was on the table. This guy's a lawyer I'm talking to, Dave. Okay. Will call you
shirtless
on
hug continues. Yeah, that's fine. Shirtless hug. I'm okay with that.
You can have it with a shirt. You can have it with a shirt and a sweater.
It just seems a little...
layer Dave up.
It just seems a little flamboyant.
Will you take him for a ride in your Thunderbird?
What Thunderbird?
What did you have? What was the car?
Firebird.
Firebird. Sorry about that.
I would, but it got purchased by my uncle and turned into a drag racer.
Is it still existing?
It's still there.
Do you know where your uncle is?
Yes, I do.
Well, there you go. Then you find your uncle. You go, listen, I got this
Can I borrow this car?
Yeah. I got to drive a lawyer around.
Yeah.
And I got to give him a hug, t-shirt, shout out.
I could probably do that.
Very good. That's the deal. And will you solve a mystery with him while you do it?
While we're in the Firebird.
Yes.
Yeah. That would make it the best of all.
That's the full offer.
Sure.
Here we go. T-shirt.
Okay, t-shirt.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Shirtless hug.
Yeah.
Ride in the Firebird.
Firebird.
Solve a mystery.
Solve a mystery.
All we require is that you get some more money out of ICBC pro bono for David.
And we'll call it I Law a Mystery.
There you are. End of segment. New segment. Begin!
Well,
shout-outs.
This show is getting so professional now. We have segments.
It's time for Shout-outs with Dave.
Okay, so...
Shout-outs!
Oh, sorry, I interrupted your song. I'm sorry.
No, that's it.
Do it again.
Okay. It's time for a shout-out with Dave. It's time for a shout-out with Dave. It's time to shout. Let's all go out and hear the shout-out from Dave. It's Dave!
Hey, everybody. Here's a shout-out to a listener to our show. This is Lane. I'm sorry. All I know is Lane. He's at Lane on Twitter. He tweeted me on Twitter. And
sounds like you're
gave
being
me
a
the,
Dr. Seuss.
Gave me the answer to a question that has been puzzling me for many a year. And so, Lane, I'd like to give you a sneaky but subtle bum group for that. I don't know what else we can...
This show's gotten molesty. What was the question that
answered? Remember I was one... I couldn't remember the name of it, but it was a movie that I saw that was related to Paul Henderson.
Okay.
And what always made it interesting to me, do you know the movie My Life as a Dog? It was a Swedish film.
Yeah.
And it has...
I saw it at the Starlight Theater in Vancouver back when that existed.
Did we see it together?
We saw every movie together.
Because I saw it there too.
Yeah.
I saw it with I saw it with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have been with you. And then I took Lisa to it. My then-girlfriend, Lisa. Well, that was our first date.
That's the one that's got the boy who's looking through the roof and looking down at the lady, and she's all naked, right?
The part you remember.
Oh, that is the part I remember. I remember I saw another movie there. I know you got to get the shout-out out. But I saw another movie there that was about Hitler's dog that I don't remember the name of. But it was like the reincarnation of Hitler's dog. And this dog was now getting some sort of Nazi characteristics and was turning a bit evil. And,
really?
I think it was from the dog's POV. Some points.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that was unrelated, except for that it is connected with dogs.
Yeah.
Please continue your shout out. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to do the song again, Dave.
Okay.
When you're feeling low and you're feeling sad, shout outs.
Okay, everybody. So like I was saying, this is a shout out to Lee. So I don't know if you remember the film. So what I was going to talk about My Life as a Dog was because in that film, it kind of parallels in the story between the young boy and his experiences. This kind of famous Swedish boxer who had this famous victory. And so at the end of the film, there's a segment where he and this girl kind of come together.
Right.
And
the boxer says, "What's life like as a dog?" And the dog goes, "Rough."
Oh, man. Not by
us. And then it just like a real tight squeeze on the – it blacks out with that Looney Tunes.
Yes. I blacked out when you said that.
All right, but please continue.
So in this TV show, it has a similar idea where this boy's romance with this girl, kind of parallels the Canadian Summit Series, and his success, it's not like he jumps on her and starts humping her or whatever, but they kiss or whatever, and it. When that happens, Paul Henderson scores, and we're all happy.
Oh, okay.
And so, and same in this My Life as a Dog, where he and the girl, I can't remember if they kiss or whatever, but they come to some sort of rapprochement.
Something happens.
They come together, and meanwhile, the boxer has this great victory. That's all of Sweden will remember forever because he won boxing at the Olympics or whatever it was.
Yep.
I can't remember the guy, the boxer's name, but if I was Swedish, I would remember it.
I think it was IKEA.
IKEA?
His name was IKEA.
I believe it was Oscar Goldman.
Okay.
But, so...
Folks, vote on what you thought was the funnier answer. The votes are in. Me. Okay, good.
But you laughed. I got laughed at mine.
I know I did laugh at yours. You know, people laugh at things.
Just to be polite?
Yeah.
So then, so the movie was called Pray for Me, Paul Henderson.
Oh, and you didn't know what the movie was called?
I didn't know what it was called.
Nice.
And it takes place, so it's a group of like kind of four awkward people.
Right.
Who have to, it's simultaneous, they're doing a trivia contest. So it has kind of a Reach for the Top aspect to it.
All right.
Which Reach for the Top was a kind of famous in Canada trivia contest for high school students.
Right.
And they would compete and maybe get on television if they lived back east in Toronto. Nowhere else did you get on television.
Not really. Not much. They did do a couple of local ones here. Not so good. Mm-hmm. We did it in our high school as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played in high school.
As did I.
Oh.
How'd you do?
I did really well, actually.
I did quite well myself.
I was really good at the spelling, but
not so good.
I always bothered people because I would have to spell it out as I was spelling it out. I would have to spell it in front of me because I have to be visual. It's visual for me. I don't know why I spell it.
Interesting.
But anyway, okay. So here's the thing. I was wrong on two counts.
Right, like most shows.
Most shows I'm wrong on many counts, but this particular show I was only wrong on two counts.
Okay.
I said that Luke Perry starred in it. That was wrong.
Ooh, okay.
I also said that Luke Perry was Canadian because I assumed that he was because he was in this.
Wait, isn't Luke Perry Canadian?
No, he's not. He's not.
So just Priestley was?
Priestley, yeah. Just Jason Priestley was Canadian.
Wow, okay.
Luke Perry, because I looked it up, he was born in Idaho or something like that. I don't want to say he was born in Idaho because now that I'm saying that, I think it's wrong.
Right.
But he's born in Ohio or someplace that has Americans living in it.
Oh, okay.
So I think that he's an American. That's what I'm saying. It's on American soil.
Right.
That's where he was born.
Right.
So I'm assuming that he is an American, having been born in America.
Well, you know that. You are an American as well.
I'm an American as well because I was born in America. That's
right.
True.
And you always keep a little American soil in your shoe at all times.
In my shoe. In the heel of my shoe.
Dirty, dirty man. It's nothing to do with patriotism. But, you just don't clean your shoes.
But here's the thing. In my defense, in the Luke Perry cool guy somehow on trivia team role was the actor Yannick Bisson. Do you know that actor?
No, I do not.
He's in Murdoch Mysteries.
All right.
Now.
Is he the lead?
He's the lead in Murdoch Mysteries.
I know who you're talking about.
So if you picture when he's young, you could kind of see him as a Luke Perry looking kind of guy.
Fair enough.
I don't know how I remember.
I agree with that, but I don't disagree with it.
That's how I remember. So yeah, I mean, I saw it once. It came out in 1989.
So once you heard this, I think I saw it in 1989. Did you go to the YouTube and did you look up a trailer?
No.
You didn't really care about it.
No, I was just happy.
Wasting this fella's time.
I looked at IMDb.
Yeah.
And I think I actually did look it up. I did try to look it up on YouTube, but
story release and all that.
I didn't get anything.
By the way, when you're talking to ICBC, maybe I'm wrong. Don't do this bullshit. Just keep your story on track.
I'm trying to think if I looked it up or not. I can't remember now. It doesn't matter.
Dave, you've been in a car accident. Your brain's jumping.
My brain's jumping. It doesn't really matter. What's important is that someone gave me the answer, which is great. By the way, the purpose of the show. I'm quitting Sneaky Dragons. What I'm saying is I'm done.
Okay.
I'm finished. Show 72, the end.
Okay, sounds good. All right, bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
When we're done the show, I'm quitting.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd just put the theme song on. This is awkward because we got a live show to do this weekend.
Well, there's going to be two of you.
Yeah, me and the missus.
I'll give you a set of instructions on how to set up the audio equipment.
Okay.
And you
Could
guys
you give can... me a list of the jokes you would have done?
No.
Okay. Oh, so like normal. Okay, yeah, exactly. Sounds good. All right.
Exactly. You're going to get the nothing I bring to every show.
Oh, that is so... Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Did you lose your self-esteem in the accident? Come on. Come on. Ooh, how much would you get from that for ICBC? You lost your self-esteem.
But then
you wouldn't collect because you would have no self-esteem.
That's the problem is that they would look back at my history and discover that I have no self-esteem.
By the way, this is a good opportunity for you to not have to do anything you don't like doing anymore. Like, say you don't like doing the dishes. You could go, I've forgotten how to do the dishes because that part of my brain was injured. Well, and then you don't have to do dishes. Or you don't like the shoe and the horses anymore. Go like, all my knowledge of farriering is gone. You've just like, gone.
It actually came in really handy that the next day, the next evening while I was playing volleyball. Mm-hmm. It was a really good excuse for any errors that I made. I just was in a car accident.
Well, this is what they say. After you've been in a car accident, play some volleyball.
Yeah.
Like right to it.
Right to it.
And yeah, right to volleyball. You know, it's the equivalent now of walk it off in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, the next day, which was Sunday, I went to the gym and then that evening I went to volleyball, although my back is a bit sore from the accident. But my feeling is that you should work it out, not just let it, not, you don't malinger. Let it, you know.
Right.
Got to work it out.
That's how all those stories go. It's like the guy, the story always goes like this. And the guy was in a car accident. What did he do? Well, then he went to the gym. And what happened? It was all fine. That's how the story always goes, right?
I think so.
It wasn't. And then he heard a tiny snap. And then he shit out his heart. Isn't that how the story always goes?
Well, possibly, but my heart is still in me. I have not.
Okay.
There was no heart shitting going on.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
That would be awkward. Trying to walk out of the gym with your heart.
Pants full of heart.
Stringy arteries. Sort of dragging along the ground.
Once again. New listeners, sorry, we apologize.
I gotta leave. Sorry about the blood streaks.
Why is your pants thumping?
Sorry about the blood streak on the ground. No, I'm just picturing it as hanging right out. It just splits the seams.
Have you put your pants back on in this scenario? Are you just going out all natural?
Your pants are on, but it's with such force that it just splits the seams of your pants and just right onto the ground.
Okay. Whoop. Well,
that was me hitting the mic, sorry.
Now you've got your idea for the title card this week. Just draw that up.
Well, yeah, that'd be great.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Speaking of nerdy things, here's a nerdy thing because we're going to lead into what we're doing this weekend. Today is whose birthday, Dave? Whose 75th birthday?
Whose 75th birthday today?
Whose 7th birthday? I'll give you a clue. It's two connected people's 75th birthday. They're fictional, and one has the same name as the person we just gave a shout out to. How about that? That's your trivia.
Oh, so Clark Kent and Lois Lane?
Boom! That's right.
So this marks the creation of Superman, is what you're saying.
It's 75 years ago to this day. Uh-huh. Action Comics number one came out. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, Canadian. Not to be confused with Luke Perry, not a Canadian.
Not to be confused with Wayne and Shuster.
They are actually related.
Don't confuse them. I just said don't confuse them. All right. Now you're confusing them.
And then Johnny Wayne Frank Shuster, Frank Shuster's daughter, Rosie Shuster, wrote for Saturday Night Live. There. So it's all connected. Everything's connected in the world. Saturday Night Live to Superman. In two connections, I connected Saturday Night Live to Superman. Done.
Can I just ask you one quick question before
you
move on?
You can ask me so many because we got about a half hour to
go. Did Ann Beats write for Saturday Night Live?
I believe so, yeah. I remember seeing that name.
Yeah, it seems familiar to me too. She did Square Pegs. I watched an episode of Square Pegs, the pilot episode, the other day on Netflix.
Okay, here's the episode you need to watch of Square Pegs.
Okay.
You need to watch the episode with Bill Murray.
Okay.
Bill Murray comes on, and it's weird, because
Do you know which episode it is? Which number?
I can tell you with the help of the internet. Or you could just look through the chapters, and it will say, Bill fucking Murray's in this one, is what we'll say. And then it will say underneath, it's the best one of the bunch. Watch this one. If you only watch one, it's the best. But here's the weird part about it. Bill Murray is basically the same Bill Murray he was in Meatballs and Stripes. Mm-hmm. He's that guy.
Yeah, I like that.
He's that Bill Murray.
I like that Bill Murray.
Now, but here's the trick. He's in a sitcom which has that 70s laugh track to it.
Yeah, I know.
I know. But you don't know where to put a laugh track on a Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work with him. It's like, I don't know, here? I don't know, that setup was pretty funny here. How about that? But there's a punchline to it. And then there's the tag. Where do I put the big laugh? It doesn't work with the structure of the sitcom.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like everyone else is doing that. Hey, what do you think? I think this. You'd think that. Bill Murray, 5 good jokes in one sentence.
Yeah.
And the guy in the laugh track's going, I don't know what to do. So listen to it. The laugh track is shit,
yeah.
But he's good. He comes in as a substitute teacher, and
okay.
Let's
talk a bit about it after we talk about what you were going to talk about.
Oh, I was just mentioning that Superman. Is 75 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
And do you like Superman? Is my question to you, David Dedrick.
Do I like Superman?
And if so, which version? Your George Reeves? Your Christopher Reeve? Do you like your Brendan?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, who do you?
So you're not asking me if I like the comic book Superman.
Sure.
Which would be the original Superman, by the way.
All right, so you're talking 1930s Superman.
In terms of...
By the way, no, let me... you know what? I'm going to interrupt what you're saying to say
something. I just want to interrupt something that you're saying.
All right, please.
No, go ahead.
Now, here's the thing. I was listening to a fellow being interviewed about Superman who was involved in the new Man of Steel. And he was saying, we're going back to the 1930s. Original 1930s Superman. I'm going, if you're going back to the 1930s Superman, he's picking people up and he's throwing them into the woods to die. Because that's the original Superman. He was killing guys.
Is that right?
He would find a guy who's torturing a woman, and he would just pick the guy up and he would throw him away. And you would never see that guy again because that guy's dead. And that was Superman in the 30s. If you're going to that Superman with Man of Steel, that is going to be an interesting movie. Just huck a guy to the moon.
Yeah, it could
and
be.
The moon's full of jerks that have been killed by Superman.
Well, speaking about that film, someone posted on Facebook that I guess the third trailer for the film.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the movie's already making the classic movie mistake of having multiple trailers that give away every plot point of the movie.
No, they're not actually.
Oh, good.
No, there's a...
But I watched...
You don't know who the villain is in this. I mean, yeah, you sort of think it's this, but there's a lot
of
stuff.
Don't they have, like, the General Zod kind of looking guy?
They certainly do have General Zod, but that might not be the villain.
Okay. So I watched it. I thought, this looks pretty good, actually. This looks kind of interesting. It's got, you know, a couple of good actors, Russell Crowe and then Kevin Costner. They're interesting choices for, I would like to see Kevin Costner as Pa Kent. I think that's a good choice.
I forget who's playing Lois Lane, but I know the actress and I like her from Enchanted and Wedding Crashers.
Sure.
Yeah, she's good.
Really good in The Fighter.
Yeah.
Really
yeah
Amy.
Oh, Amy, boy.
It's Amy something. Amy. Yeah.
Something.
Fill it in, listeners. You know what we're talking about.
And I think Lawrence Fishburne is Perry White, I think.
Oh, really?
I believe so, yeah.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I like that. So it looked interesting, yeah, until the name came up and it said directed by Zack Snyder. And I was just like, oh, Zack Snyder. Thanks a lot. Because it looked interesting.
But it's not written by Zack Snyder, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
See, I think that might make a difference.
Okay.
We'll see. Here's my problem with the trailer, though. It feels a bit too Smallville-y in that it looks like... Here's my problem with, like, almost all Superman for the last, let's go 20 years.
Okay.
Being Superman shouldn't be a fucking drag. And it looks like, you know, with Smallville, every one of them was just like, I got these powers. Oh, boy. Boy, do I hate my powers. I wish I could have love,
but isn't that
No.
Is this every show, though, nowadays?
Every show, yeah, but it should
like
be.
Like, Buffy was like that, too. Like, Buffy starts off as like a lighthearted, goofy high school kid show or teenage show. And then, you know, gets to season 4 or whatever, and it's just like, oh, boy, life is so bad. Oh, I hate it so much. And it's same watching Millis has been going through this big supernatural phase.
Right.
So I've been seeing Supernatural, and I've seen, like, tons of shows from through the last 8 seasons or whatever it is. So I decided, well, maybe I'll just watch the first season. And because I tried to watch it when it was on and I couldn't really get into it. But I thought, well, maybe I'll just watch it again and I can watch it with the girls and, you know. And so watch the first season and I was like, oh, that's really fun and lighthearted. You know, compared to what I saw the later seasons where everything's like, I'm drinking demon's blood. I've been to hell. I'm being haunted by the devil. It's just like, oh, come on. Like, just keep having fun. Like, can the characters joke around?
Yeah.
And you know, it can still be serious, still have, like, angsty moments. I guess that's what teenage girls want from their hunky actors and stuff
like that. Well, it feels like they're not going with escapism. They're going with, it's not even realism because you can't realistically fly.
Yeah.
It's just bummerism.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I kind of get that with, like.
Well, then it's serious.
Yeah. Well, I get that, like, with Batman. Like, I get Batman. What's his origin? His parents died and he's not gotten over it and he's got a crime-filled city. And he's in a dark cave, and he dresses as something that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that guy can be Johnny Sad. He can pull that off. But Superman, no sir. He's the blue and the red and the this and the that, and he's hope, and he's, you know, he's kindness, and he wants to help. And he shouldn't be, I wish I didn't have to help today. I wish I could just be with Lois and have a good time, but I can't go. I'm Superman, and I don't like being Superman. I mean, with Smallville, it looked like, you know, it started off with, you know, him being horribly bullied by other kids.
Mm.
And you're thinking like, oh, but you know how they're going to go with this, is once he starts getting his powers and knowing who he is, you learn who you are, you get over that, and then he'll be happy because he's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to help people, and he's doing the thing that makes him happy, brings him joy, and that's absolutely right. And he'll embrace it, and here we go.
Yeah.
No, it was always just like a fucking bummer till the end. It was just like, everything's a drag.
Because the Superman movies, the Christopher Reeves one, they're not drags, though. I mean,
no, George Reeve as a Superman in the TV series, you know, even Clark Kent, you know, milksop Clark Kent, who everyone makes fun of, he's always got a smile on his face. He's always walking the office, big grin, takes his hat off. Hey, Lois, what's going on?
Yeah.
Everyone's being killed. Oh, geez, that sounds like pretty bad. Well, I gotta go. Oh, you coward, Kent.
Yeah.
I guess I am a coward. He doesn't give a shit. He's Superman. Yeah. He goes off, he flies, he's always smiling, he's having a good time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you want. You want you want to identify with the characters and go, oh, I would like to be that guy, not, oh, thank God I'm not that guy, because that looks like shitty times.
What happened to us? I watched that doc.
Us? You and me?
We
did this podcast. Our culture. Broke our spirit.
Our culture. I was watching that Wayne White documentary, Beauty is Embarrassing.
Yes.
And he says in there...
By the way, it's on Netflix, and you should watch it. It's really good.
He
used to be a puppeteer on... He's most famous for being a puppeteer on Pee-wee's Playhouse, but he's done a lot of other wonderful art, and you should watch that. Beauty is Embarrassing. Please continue.
But he says in there, he just says, comedy is the most important thing in life. Like, humor is the most important thing in life. Like, that's the deepest place that we can go. And I think that's true. Like... Mm-hmm. I remember reading a long time ago, I was reading G.K. Chesterton, The Everlasting Man, and he's talking there and he says, you know, he's talking about a caveman. It's a sort of a made-up bit, you know, running away from an animal.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't interviewing the actual caveman. He had to make it up. There was no record. The caveman didn't write on the wall his feelings. Okay, go ahead.
But he's talking about, like, you know, just the need for survival, you know, running away from an animal or whatever.
Yep.
He says, but the moment he turned around and thumbed his nose and stuck out his tongue in that animal, that was art. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a totally different place. You know what I mean? And that moment of celebration, it's like we don't want to do that anymore. Like, we just don't want to celebrate what we are or what we're good at. It's just everyone has to be glum and walking around with their hands in their pockets.
Well, that's the difference between that and...
kicking a rock.
Superman, like Smallville, and Buffy. Is like Buffy actually did have people. There was moments of joy in Buffy. There was moments of genuine
love.
It
started to seep out of the show.
And friendship.
Once she went to hell. Like, once the show went to hell.
You mean literally?
Yeah. Because after the is it Faith season? No, not Faith. The Glory season.
Okay.
When Buffy dies, then she's in heaven and she gets taken back down to hell. The last few seasons of the show are her in a hell dimension. That's why those shows go the way they go.
That's
my theory. Yeah.
That's your theory.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But in the original Buffy, I guess when it's cooking, it's
up to that Glory season.
Right. Okay. Well, that's your opinion.
That's a high point.
Like, all
right. I mean, I know there are good
elements after that.
But it never.
You can write a show off at whatever point you want. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But I think what worked for that was there was moments of genuine joy, and they did use humor to deal with things in the way that real people do in high school. Things are pretty shitty when you're a teenager in many ways. And how you can deal with it is one of those ways. And without humor, I agree, without humor, you're fucked. You without that release valve, everything's going to build up and, oh, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You've got to find a way of laughing at depression and death and all these other things, or you're a mess.
Yeah, I mean, well, go to 4chan and see what teenagers are laughing at. I mean, it's patently offensive to most, you know, if you walked around saying those sort of jokes to people in your normal life, you would not have very many friends very quickly. But it's in that setting, in that place, you know, obviously teenagers need this release to, you know, let out these dark feelings, this dark humor, this outrageous, you know, sick humor, whatever you want to call it. I mean, sick humor has been around forever. I mean, people have been, with their hands. They've been...
Wringing their hands,
yes, about sick humor, you know, since, well, forever, obviously. Yeah.
People are worried that it's a bad thing, and yet it is not. Because in the end, you know, the idea of death is so dark and unbelievable. You can't wrap your head around it.
I don't think as a teenager you've wrapped your head around that concept
well,
yet.
Well, you've got something going on. Like, you know, even if you don't wrap your head around death.
I think you're wrapping your head around responsibility, at, like, upcoming, the onrush of.
Something darker is coming.
The onrush of adulthood
and
is coming.
And you've got, I mean, bless them, they mean well. But they're telling you these are the best years of your life. And you're going, oh, I certainly hope not. Because, oh boy, I tell you.
Well, they're good in the sense that, they're great in terms of like not having responsibility.
But then they're also not great in terms of not having responsibility.
Because, I guess that's
because
true.
You know, here's the thing. Like, you have children, and that you wouldn't, without that responsibility, one was in that car thing. Without the responsibility, you don't get the joy.
Mm-hmm.
The joy comes, the satisfaction of life comes with responsibility. If you're one of those guys who's born into the rich family where you never have to do anything, you can be that empty husk and you can never feel real pleasure because you've never got responsibility. You've got no walls to bounce things things off of. So you're just like lost in the fucking ocean.
I always feel sorry for those rich people.
I actually do.
I watched another interesting documentary that was on Netflix. It was called The Queen of Versailles. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. It's about this woman and her husband. And this man was very wealthy. When the documentary starts, he is the owner or CEO of this the biggest timeshare company in the world. And he and his wife decided they're going to build the biggest house in North America, a 90,000 square foot house that they're going to call Versailles. It's not inspired by Versailles. It's actually inspired by the roof line of a hotel in Vegas that has like a mansard roof, like a French style roof. So they start building this ginormous dream house. It's going to have 30 bathrooms, 10 kitchens, blabbity blah, blah, blah. What's interesting in the film, though, is if the film takes place in 2008. So during the filming of the documentary, the stock market crashes. Subprime mortgages are no longer tenable. So that's basically what this guy's market is, because he's selling timeshares. He's selling, there's people, they're paying $24,000 for a timeshare in Las Vegas for 3 days every 2 years, $24,000. Now you're getting a loan from a bank. You are paying $24,000. You're getting a mortgage for $24,000 on nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. If you default on that mortgage, there's nothing for the bank to collect. There's no collateral to that loan. So his whole business was subprime. And so all his money dries up. So he's desperately trying to, you know, bail out the rowboat that's sinking. Meanwhile, his wife is totally clueless. She's spending like crazy. They're having to they had like 19 maids and 4 nannies or something like that. And they're having to get rid of all this stuff.
Just like walk down the hall shitting your pants just to make the maids do something? How filthy could you be?
Oh, you would not believe how filthy.
How much dust couldn't
come
in?
Once the maids are gone, there's like dog poo all over the floor because they have so many dogs and no one wants to clean it up because they're all spoiled. The animals need daily care that aren't like dogs that come up to you big. Like they have lizards and fish and stuff like that. They're all dying because no one's looking after them. It's just horrible. And she says, this lady says in the film, she says, if I'd known that I wouldn't have nannies, I wouldn't have had this many children. Like when I thought of having children, I thought of, you know, I could handle one or maybe two.
Yeah.
But I never would have had this many if I'd known that I would have to look after them.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where she flies with her family to her hometown of Binghamton, New York. And the kids are getting on the plane. They're like, why are there people on our plane? Because they're used to flying on private jets. So they've never been on a commercial. And then when they land, she's renting a car from Hertz. And she says to the guy, so does our driver come with it? And the guy's like totally like nonplussed. He's like looking at her. There's no driver. You drive the car. You know, like her whole world is, it's quite fascinating, actually.
Were they born into wealth?
No, they all, like she was, she worked for she actually was admirable in a way. She graduated from high school, went to school, and became an engineer and worked for IBM as an engineer.
Here's what I don't understand about that. It's like she knows how the world works then.
Yeah.
Like, so how does she not know that Hertz, like she was familiar with Hertz from her pre-superpowers days Superman.
You'd think so, but forget? I think so. But what was interesting, there's a scene where they have Christmas. And it shows them buying Christmas presents at Walmart.
Right.
And she's got like 5 shopping carts full of gifts for one Christmas.
Right.
And then they have Christmas morning, and it's the most joyless thing you've ever seen in your life. Like absolutely.
There's no impact.
Nothing, because it's just an onslaught of crap.
I know people I know that's the constant. That's the thing. You know, no one ever feels sorry for rich people, but like I do hear, you know, people like if you're rich and you're sad, you're fucked unless you get some really good therapy or something, because you've got ways of dealing with that aren't available to you. You can't make things better. You're just skidding around on ice and you can't stand up. You just can't. And that's horrifying. To take it back to Superman, I'm gonna lure it back to here. Here's the thing. Like I can see with Smallville, a guy going, I've got all this responsibility. Shit. And that's Superman. Mm-hmm. He's realizing you're responsible for the world. That's what you're responsible for. And he's, fuck. But what you need to then see is the joy of realizing, you know, oh, I'm responsible for the world. I know my place in this world. I know my purpose. I know what I should do. And then you're helping people. And then you see that you're helping people and you see you have an impact. And that matters to you. And that's your joy. And that's why that you want to continue. That completely works. But you never had that. You had just like the, ugh, oh boy. Whereas I think, and here's another thing that Buffy had going that was better than Superman. Here's the big flaw in Superman, is that he lies to everyone he loves. is like he doesn't tell the truth about who he is, whereas
she lies to her mom.
At first, and then eventually she doesn't. And then things get better. Like everyone that she lies to later figures out the truth, and then it's never things are shittier because they know the truth. Mm-hmm. It's always things are better because they know the truth.
Yeah.
And even in the comic book, like Lois has found out and it's been fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea that like, they'd be in danger if they knew. No, you're in danger every week because, you know, because Superman's around. So Lex Luthor's kidnapping you every week. Don't worry fucking about it. Just tell him the damn truth. But that's the big flaw with Superman is he's alone because he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like lying constantly to everyone around him about who he is. Well, and that's why truth, justice, and the American way doesn't work because he's not truthful. He's just a big liar.
Well, isn't that the American way? Oh yeah! Hashtag.
You can say that because you're American. I can't.
Yeah, that's true. I can
dump that soil out of your shoes.
Burn that passport.
Yeah, it makes sense for Batman to be Mr. Liar, but it doesn't make sense for Superman to be Mr. Liar to me.
Yeah,
that's a big flaw.
Well, it looks like in the trailer that I watched that someone posted, it looks like they kind of set it up that he's more at risk from humanity being scared of him, which is why he hides behind a
right.
But anyway.
Well, that's his assumption, is that people will be scared of someone who's different and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fair.
That's not unusual, by the way.
Right.
I face that every day of my life.
Right. Because you like to frighten birds.
My body odor.
But in that way, you could actually do a nice comparison with Superman and America if you want to talk superpowers. It's just like, how do people feel about America? They both love and fear and are suspicious of and this. And, you know, America only really works when they are ethical. Because when they start doing the torturing or whatever, then it's like, wow, this is really bad. Because people, you got to be good. You can't do that shit. You can't pull that off.
Yeah.
That's why whenever they have Superman being super cool and badass and like, you know, hurting people. Well, that never works in a story at all. You know, like, but realistically, he should kill those guys. And it's just like, no, can't be realistic. It's Superman. No.
Well,
no,
one of the great finds of my adult life for the girls, I found this big giant pile of comics, coverless comics in a thrift shop. And I got them for, I can't remember what I got them for. Not very much money. And there's about 50 comics in this pile.
Yeah.
And it had like Superman family.
The reason that you found those, of course, is they used to send the covers back and they would get, those were the unsold comics.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's how it used to work at newsstands.
Oh, okay.
If your comics didn't sell, you couldn't have them on the shelf still because they're out of date.
Yeah.
You tear the covers off as you would magazines.
Yeah.
Send them in and you would get refunded.
Okay.
So you can't resell them in that way, but you could resell them as coverless comics for cheapity cheap. And that's where those came from.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I found these and so there was like Superman family, like these are like older comics, right? So that was the girl's first experience, first, what's the word I'm looking for?
Their
first
exposure
to Superman and to comics in general. Like, you know, so there's like Sad Sack. There's all kinds of silly comics in this pile. It was just a random, like the greatest find ever, right? Like, they love those comics. So Millis actually has a hard time with reading like Wonder Woman and stuff like that, these dark comics. And like, you know that she absolutely dislikes Wonder Woman because she murdered someone.
Right.
And she can never like that character.
Well, let me reassure right now that Wonder Woman is gone. It's all been rebooted.
Yes,
it's a new
know. I know, but it's hard to get that out of character. Your It's hard to get that out of your
Though in the first issue of Wonder Woman, two horses get killed. So maybe she will not like that comic.
But it's hard to get that taste out of your mouth. If your exposure to comics is kind of an innocent, fun thing, and then it suddenly, when you see it again, it's this dark, weird thing. And
well, it bugs me just as a writer, just going like when people say, well, they had no choice. You know, the superhero had no choice. Mm. He had to. It's like, well, that's what makes you a superhero, is you find the other choice. Batman every week gets tied up to the machine that would obviously kill you, but he finds a way out. Why? Because he's fucking Batman.
There you go.
And so when you kill Robin off because Batman couldn't get there in time, well, then you've dropped the concept. You've lost the plot. Then it's like, no, Robin doesn't die. That's incorrect. By the way, Robin just died.
Did he?
Yeah. They just killed Robin again, a different Robin. The other Robin came back from the dead.
Oh, okay.
This Robin is dead. Dead.
Was, the character Damien.
Yeah.
Damien Hirst.
Damien? That's right.
The conceptual art Robin.
That's right. That's who passed away. I always find that stuff, you know, just, it's silly.
Was he in a big tank of formaldehyde? Is that what they found him in?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys all getting the art references?
Skull encrusted with diamonds.
Look it up, everybody. Look it up.
Our audience is hip.
He fights his worst enemy Piss Pope. Is that the
no,
character?
No, that's not. That's a different...
was there a pee Jesus or something?
There's Piss Christ.
Was there Piss Christ?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Piss Pope sounds better.
But that's a different... That was an Italian artist who did that one.
I could think of conceptually for an artist was that. But anyway, Superman's been through a lot of different stuff. He used to be a killer once upon a time. But that was just like the social justice guy. He would like always burst in on guys smacking ladies around. And he would then straighten them up. One of the first guys he ever beat up was Jack Kennedy. Named Jack Kennedy. Wasn't that Jack Kennedy? That'd be weird if it was.
Yeah.
But it was Jack Kennedy.
It was his father.
In reprints,
Jack Sr.
In reprints, I believe they changed the name because it was weird.
Mm.
Oh, but did you know the weird...
To Edgar Kennedy.
Did you know the weird John Kennedy kind of controversy in Superman? Are you familiar with that story?
No.
Well, there was a Superman story where, for some reason, Clark Kent and Superman had to be around at the same time. Never mind that he has a whole bunch of robots built just for that. Yeah. Forget about that. Ignore that thing. And then at some sort of situation, he's like, oh, I got to have both me and him. What am I going to do? I'm screwed. And then who shows up? It's Clark Kent, I believe. Or Superman. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
So he shows up and is like, here. And Lois, I believe, is the one who went like, well, I'm wrong again. By the way, Superman lying to Lois does two things. One, makes him an asshole, makes her the worst reporter in the world.
Yeah.
That she can't see that story under her fucking nose. She is not a good
reporter.
She
sees it. She just can't prove it.
Yeah. Well, she's dumb. It makes her dumb. Okay. So anyway.
It's hard to beat a guy who has x-ray vision.
What does that affect her?
Because you can see it coming.
What? Because you see it coming?
Yeah.
Okay. You'll explain that to me at another time.
What do you mean? He can x-ray vision. Like, you can't sneak up on the guy. He can see you coming.
I know, but he's a guy with no mask, and it's like she knows. And then,
he is a guy with a mask.
You shouldn't lie to her. Anyway, so it's one of these, oh, Lois, you're dumb. There you go. And then the big reveal at the end is Superman or Clark Kent, whoever it is, peels off his mask. Who's under it? Mm-hmm. It is John F. Kennedy. And the deal is like, well, if you can't trust the president, who can you trust? Luckily, Kennedy's the same build as Superman. Good for Kennedy, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Sadly, that week, Kennedy's killed.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it looks to people who are just picking this up on the stand like, well, of course, you know, Kennedy, now it's fine because he's dead. So there you go. That's why you could tell him the identity. That's in bad taste. Of course not. Stories written many months before, not at all. But yeah, that was like a little bit of a controversial issue because of that.
Well, they learned from that, and hence the giant supersized issue of Superman versus Elvis in 1976. So yeah, came out just the right time, you know. Elvis or Superman beats Elvis to a pulp, you know.
Right. We gotta take the taste out of that people's mouth. All right, John Lennon. Teams up with John Lennon. Oh boy.
The famous 1980 super-sized issue.
I'm trying to remember if Superman ever met the Beatles.
Imagine this, John Lennon. Kapow.
Definitely the Beatles met the Fantastic Four. I think they also showed up at the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic and Sue Storm's wedding.
It was the Fantastic Four versus the Fab Four.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it. Good. There was one issue I remember where the Thing was wearing a Beatles wig.
They're very popular. It's my father-in-law used to wear that at the dinner table.
Did he?
While we'd be eating, he would disappear and then come back and he'd be wearing a Beatles wig. But he would make no comment about it.
Right.
And this would be like with lots of people there, not just like us as a small family unit.
This was your uncle, sir?
My father-in-law. Lisa's dad.
Oh, is that the guy that passed away when he fell down the stairs and kept yelling help and everyone just thought he was just singing the song? Right.
He said, is he wearing that wig again?
Yeah, we know you love the song. Help, I need somebody. We get it. And then sadly.
That's right.
He was off to the long and winding road.
We just said, let it be.
Keep going.
What do you mean, keep it going?
keep the Beatles jokes going.
He said, don't worry, it's getting better.
Okay. You got another one? Maybe number nine? Number nine? Joke number
nine?
He said,
he's got a ticket to ride.
And he's...
What?
I don't know. Why don't we just do it in the road?
What's that? He yelled out, wait a second, I feel fine.
Pretty good. That was a good tear. By the way, Dave's feeling a little nervous about the show this weekend.
Yeah.
Speaking of nerdy things and Superman, you'll probably see a couple of people dressed as Superman at the Vancouver Fan Expo.
That's what's making me nervous.
What, seeing Superman?
Yeah.
Superman makes you nervous?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a supervillain.
Because right. Because I'm going to be wearing my Lex Luthor costume.
That's right.
Be shaving my head, which I do not enjoy doing that, but every year, get out the razor
yep.
and shave my head, and go as Lex Luthor. It's a simple costume because Lex Luthor always is naked, right?
You know what? There's been so many versions of Lex Luthor. Who knows?
So, you know, that's what I do every year.
Yeah. He used to always like wear like a, he used to be a regular guy. Mm-hmm. Then he wore a gray prison suit all the time. He always wore a prison suit. Nice job, Luthor.
It's kind of odd, doesn't it?
Yeah. Weird. And then he wore,
that's an example of low self-esteem.
Yeah. And then he wore,
I'm just ready.
Purple shirt and green pants. And then he had his own planet for a while.
He's a criminal.
And then he became a multimillionaire. He was that guy.
Okay.
And then briefly he was president. Briefly. Wow. And then he's now just a jerk.
He's just a jerk?
Just an asshole.
So he dresses like he's got a beard, wears like a pork pie hat, smokes cigarettes by the door of the restaurant. So the smoke always goes in when people
yep.
leave.
Yep, from the movie Cape Luthor.
Where's the skinnies? Where's the skinny jeans? And he's got his fashionable lumberjack beard.
Yeah. No, the movie shouldn't be called Cape Luthor. It should be called Cape Cape.
Cape Cape?
Yeah.
There you go.
Because it's about Superman.
Yeah. I get you.
It all makes sense. You know who no one's able to like work with? Brainiac. No one can do a good Brainiac story. You know why? He's going to be really smart.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Brainiac is?
No.
Well, that's a damn shame.
Why?
Well, because he's like Superman's number two villain.
Is he?
Yeah. Here's the thing about...
Okay, wait. So he's a robot with a
yeah?
plexiglass dome thing on his
head? No. Though that would be... No, that's a character named Simon.
Oh.
P.S. Simon. Yeah, okay. That guy exists.
Simon?
It's actually kind of funny because in the... I know why you're thinking that. Because in Tiny Titans, which is a very good little comic book that's no longer in existence, there's a Brainiac Club.
Tiny Titans is no longer in existence?
No. There was a Superman family, though, that they did for a
while.
They
didn't reboot it for 52?
No, they didn't. But there was a Brainiac Club, and it was all the Brainiacs, because there's Brainiac 5 from the Legion of Superheroes and all these other Brainiac 13.
Is Brainiac the guy who's always trying to get the city of Kandor?
Yes, that's him. He did. He shrunk Kandor, why Kandor still exists, which is the Kryptonian city.
Okay.
The one city that survived.
Okay.
So there's a Brainiac Club, and they all hang out. And
does Superman visit Kandor? Does he shrink down and visit Kandor?
I'm just going to finish this one thing.
No, but can I?
Swear to God, I will get to it.
Okay.
All right. And Simon,
yeah.
who has the brain, everyone thinks he's Brainiac, but he's not.
He's not.
He hangs out with the Brainiac Club every
Okay.
Time. Now back to your question about Kandor, go.
Is it the same Kandor that's mentioned in Evil Dead?
When is it mentioned in Evil Dead?
Isn't that where they're looking in the lost city of Kandor? They find the Book of the Dead there?
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that was a reference to that.
Two
cities survived in the old Superman comics. One was Kandor. And
the other was Honesty.
That's right.
Okay.
They turned the rock, looked beneath it. Peace on Earth was all it said. It was Argo City, which was Supergirl's city.
Oh, okay.
And what
Isn't
happened?
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, it was. So what happened, though, was like her, because she's cousins to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they, brothers? Like her dad would be brother to Superman? Is that how cousins work? What is that?
No. Cousins would be that Superman's dad and Supergirl's dad or mom or dad.
Yeah.
Moms or dads were related somehow.
That's what I said. Yeah. But wouldn't they be brothers?
Could have been brothers or brother
and
sister.
I
or
think brothers.
Sister and sister.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the dad's not a sister.
Like, no. But I mean, it could go either way. There's a mom and a dad, right?
Yeah, there's a mom and a dad.
Like, if you have an aunt
who's
your mom's sister.
On the sister side.
Yeah.
What you're saying is the doctor could be a woman.
What I'm saying, I don't think that's true.
Okay, so.
Which doctor are you talking about?
Well,
Dr. Seuss?
Definitely not Kryptonian, because all the women don't have jobs up there. From
is
what I've
right?
seen, all the women just like go up to the husbands and go, oh, no, we're going to shoot my baby into space? Sounds good. Okay, so Jor-El is going, planet's going to blow up. I'm going to make a rocket big enough for my wife and my kid. And meanwhile, Smarty Pants, the other guy, his brother, the smart guy, knows that there's a thing called the survival zone, which is like the Phantom Zone, but not terrible. So he puts all of Argo City into the survival zone.
Yeah.
So they all vanish. So Johnny, the guy who's supposed to be smartest guy on the planet, Jor-El, you know, he doesn't make it even big enough for the missus. And the missus goes, ugh, it's a bit cramped. I'm going to stay and blow up with you. Okay, baby in the rocket. Off he goes. Meanwhile, you know, the dumber brother saves the whole fucking city. Good job, brother. Well done. They all vanish and they're all in the survival zone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I can't argue either way because I'm totally unfamiliar with what you're talking about.
Here's the other thing.
It's almost like someone's speaking to me in a different language.
Even though Krypton is another planet, all the same
animals. I thought Krypton was a dog.
Well, Crypto is the dog. They all have the same animals as us. They got monkeys. They got dogs. They got horses. It's all the same damn animals until you get up to, like, jewel dragons. In which case, then it just takes a leap. And then it's all crazy fucking jewel creatures and monsters. But on the lower end of the spectrum, fucking all the same as us.
Well,
yeah.
Evolution, I guess.
And that's where Crypto, by the way, came from, was he just experimented with Crypto first and put him up in a rocket. Well, first he did Beppo, which was the monkey.
Okay.
Well, we lost Beppo.
One of the Marx brothers.
Yeah, he's done. Beppo's up there. That's maybe work. Let's put the dog up. And like, as the kid cries his eyes out that we're putting the dog in the thing.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing. Why don't you get a mouse or something? Why don't you get another dog? Yeah. Maybe not your pet, you jerk. By the way, Jor-El's
an
asshole.
Why don't they put up another Marx brother? Why not Groucho? Why can Groucho go up?
So Crypto, that would be actually good.
Groucho, Harpo,
Crypto
Chico,
Marx.
And sometimes Beppo.
Oh, I like it. Well, like, once again, you bet your title card.
It's all done.
It's all done.
I have two for this show now.
Listen, Dave doesn't know much about Superman, but if you
I know what I like.
If you want to tell him more about Superman, you could tell him about Superman at Fan Expo this weekend.
That's right.
Which is, what's the actual date?
The actual date of Fan Expo that will be there is the 21st.
21st, but it's on the 20th and the 21st.
So on the 20th and the 21st, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, but Sunday we're there at 11 o'clock.
We're starting our show at 6 in the morning.
Right, we're going to...
prime time.
We're going to be madly scrambling to put up all our microphones and go, do you know how it works? I don't fucking know how it works. And we'll be doing a lot of those yelling. There'll be tears. And then Pia will be like, you know, maintaining a distance because she'll feel upset at our yelling at each other.
Trying to keep peace between us.
Right.
It's okay, guys. We can work it out.
But then we'll get on the mics and we'll talk about nerdy things for about 50 mm-hmm. minutes. Yeah. By the way, if you ask a question.
And Ian's going to do a rap before we start.
That's right.
I'm bringing my turntables.
And I will be wrapping presents. Bring your Christmas presents.
Bring Christmas presents.
And I will wrap them. Oh my God. I used to have to do that as for a living, and I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible. So
you're not fussy enough to be a good rapper.
I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you ask a question, like we'll have a little Q&A at the end.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It kills time.
I like the way. Okay.
But here's my offer to you.
Me?
Listener.
Oh, listener. Okay.
No offer to you.
Okay.
Here's my offer to you. Because I Q&A with you through the whole damn thing. You're not special to me for the Q&A. I get this shit for free, brother. If you ask a question, I will give you a free Sneaky Dragon mini comic.
Oh.
So there you go.
Nice.
I'm bringing some mini comics. We'll be giving some of those away.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what'll happen. If you got a question, we get a free mini comic. And we'll sign it. And we'll do all that business.
Great.
You're looking over my shoulder like there's a ghost. Did something just walk into the room, Dave?
There's someone at the door.
Okay.
So what that means is we're wrapping the show up.
All right.
Because the tax man is here.
Did someone just try to get in?
Someone, I think it's a skip tracer. I think you've finally been discovered, Robert Preston.
Okay. The missus is at the door. Yeah. That's what happened. Yeah. Okay. All right. This has been a lovely time. It's been
lovely
good talking
time.
To you. I'm glad you're healthy. I'm glad you're
Thanks
in good
very
spirits.
Much.
I'm glad you're... I hope you get the most out of ICBC, and we hope to see you live in Vancouver this weekend, which is like right now. If you're listening to this and it just dropped, then just get in the lineup right now.
Get in the lineup right now. And can we just add, just before we go, that on May 25th, or actually on May 26th, but the weekend of May 25th, 26th, we will be doing a live show at VanCaf. The show starts at, our show will start at 3 in the afternoon that day, so it gives you more time to sleep in on
Wicked.
A Sunday.
All right, that's it. I got to go let my wife in. Good stuff all around. Nice talking to you folks. Always a pleasure having you listen to our nonsense. Thanks so much. And if you're a new listener, hey, new listener. And if you're an old listener, God bless you. I like you more than the new listeners. But new listeners eventually will.
You should play fair. You should play favorites, but eventually it evens out.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.